Moments before Matan Torah, Sukkim say, "Ve'ato in Shemaya Tishmu Bekoyli, Shomu Es Briti, Vatem Tihi Uli Mamlech Es Koyanim Begoy Kodosh, Kili Kol Ha'olim, Tihuli Amisugula Mikol Ha'amim, Mamlech Es Koyanim Begoy Kodosh." Beis HaLevi explains that the expression V'shomru et Berisi is a comparison to the dinim of Truma and Hekdesh. Both Truma and Hekdesh require Shmirah. You can't take it for granted that they are Tohar. If there is any Hesa Chadat at all, so you must assume that they are possible. They are not in a matter of the Kedusha or the Truma is Psula. There was a Hesach Hadat. Similarly, says the Beit HaLevi, as we find by Truma, we find an expression of Mishmeret HaTruma, guarding the Truma. Similarly, Shomar L'Choyet HaDova HaZeh, Torah also has a Shmira. You can't assume that the Torah itself is always in a perfect situation. It needs, as they say, tender loving care. It needs protection. It needs care. Torah is like Truma and Hekdesh, says the Beit HaLevi. With a moment's Hesach Hadat, the Torah can lose its potency. It loses its strength. It can have a kilkul, just like a Hesach Hadat on Hekdesh and Truma. Perhaps that's the reason why the Ramo introduces the Shulchan Aruch and says, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tomis, that's a mila of the Tzadikim, Klal Godol Vatoyim, meaning that they're always mindful of Shiviti Hashem in their application to Torah. Perhaps this concept of Shmira by Torah also explains the concept of Kosher liknoisom kiklei zohor, benoyach la'abdom kiklei zchuchit. Torah is not a tidbit. Torah is not a pastime or just a study which you, a pastime which you happen to look at. Torah needs tremendous care. It's kosher liknoisom kiklei zohor. And you can lose it in a moment. It's not Torah, it's something else. We must ask ourselves, perhaps that's the reason why these psukim are written moments before Yaseret HaDibros. In order to become an Am Segula Mikol HaAmim, you need Shmira on the Torah. You can't take it for granted that your Torah is pure. It needs care from a Hesach Hadat. Based on that formula, the Beit HaLevi brings down from the Tzukim in Yirmiyahu, when the famous question was asked, Mi o'ish hechochom v'yovei netzoi? Who on earth would understand and can comprehend why there was a chuvun? Ashediva pi Hashem elov. The Agidu Allah of the Horeb. Why on earth would there be Chuban HaMikdash? The Gemara in the Dorim, Hey Aleph, where the Chachamim did not know, no one knew. Why was there a Chuban HaMikdash? Nitzatzol Kamidbo Mibli Oiver. And they were cast out into the Midbar without any protection, without any care. No one knew. And the only one who could reveal it was Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayomer Hashem, Alos Vomet Toirotzi. The reason why there was a Churban is because you left the Torah. Hashem Nosati Bifneihem. V'lo Shomu B'Koili. The same words recur. Im Tishmu B'Koili, V'lo Shomu B'Koili. V'lo Holochu Bo. And you didn't go in the ways of the Torah. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can peek into the Yetzer Hara of a person and be able to analyze and diagnose that the reason for the Churban was Alozom, but they learned Torah. Yes, they learned Torah, but there wasn't the care, there wasn't the protection, there wasn't the scrutiny. There was a Hesach Hadas. And if it's a Hesach Hadas, then it's not really Torah, it's something else. It's like a secular study, it doesn't have the purity to it. They were not Shomer et Habrit, like the Beis Halevi explains by Truma and Hekdash. Torah needs superb care. You can't take it for granted. If you open a Gemara, but straight away you're online with the purity and the Tara of Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam was the only one who could say, in your Yetzer Hara, Al Ozvam Et Torosi, you left my Torah. It wasn't the way I intended it to be. Velo Holchu Bo, and you didn't go in the ways of the Torah. An awful expression. No one could answer. No one could say. But there was a Hesach Hadas. There was a lack of Shmirah. Apparently, every single generation has that Nisoyah. Since Matan Torah, to ensure that the Torah that is kept and the Torah that we learn is as pure as Truma and Hekdash. Eighty years ago was an awful nisayon about Ozvam Es Toirotzi. After the Petira of Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they found in his drawer 141 pages written in longhand, in his own handwriting, one side only. The handwriting as crystal clear as his logic. His history was dead on accurate. The year was 1960. To Americans, World War II was ancient history and the American dream was in full swing of Gashmius in bloom. He never printed his writings. I asked one of his Talmidei Chachamim, one of his Talmid Mufrik, why did he never print it? And they said in the book here also, he was scared maybe. People would get insulted, people would get hurt. Maybe it was too sensitive to print. But on Leil Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor, and looking back 80 years, perhaps we can understand what it means by a Hesach Hadas in Torah. Al Ozvam Es Toirotzi V'lo Holchu Bo. A few of his conclusions at the end, it's something which is the most awful of reports. He saw it all, and he diagnosed it all, and he had a full understanding of what was happening, and he called it a divine madness. This is what he wrote about 80 years ago. The insane and entirely causeless hatred against Israel was nothing less than a divine madness. It was God's open demonstration against assimilation, whether physical or mental, and the demonstration was so clear that only the most blind could ignore it. The decrees of Nazi Germany were aimed at separating Jews from Gentiles in every possible manner. There would be no social contact, no business contact, no contact in schools, housing, travel, resorts, shopping. There would be no personal identity. The insistence on Jewish names, a remarkable sign from heaven against the use of Gentile names. The badge on Jewish garments, an unwelcome reminder to appear Jewish, and similar decrees that had the same purpose. Never before had there been so much assimilation, and therefore, to counter it, came a hatred never before equaled. In Russia and Poland, the most powerful influence was the proletarian ideals of Karl Marx, which sought to erase every form of distinction between Israel and the nation. These are some of his conclusions. Many Jews had lost sight of the immense superiority of the genuine Jew over the nation. The person who edited these writings of Rav Miller explained, what does it mean, the superiority? The Jewish nation is superior in a critical area, direct relationship with and closeness by the creator of the universe. A bold claim, a true claim, which the world and many Jews themselves may or may not choose to recognize. The national task commanded upon the children of Israel, bringing divine law to the world, requires fidelity to God's expressed commandments and incorporates a dedication to kindliness, morality, and education. It is those traits that bestow a superiority. Said Rabbi Victor, many had so forgotten history that they had become to regard the Gentiles as models of benevolence and goodwill. And very many believed that Western civilization was the answer to all problems. They had fallen into the error of admiring the superficial manners of the masters of the land, their efficiency, their punctuality, and similar qualities. When the Germans showed themselves to be the most efficient of mass murderers, with their punctual schedule of extermination that enabled the death factories to transform 20,000 people in one day into ashes, and when the inhuman devils tortured their victims with numerous forms of horrible suffering and the worst degradation before killing them, the Jews learned a lesson of the highest value. The German scientists and physicians who had so greatly been admired now revealed themselves as demons for the terrible netherworld. From Berlin came forth the reform, the Haskalah and the assimilation that blighted Judaism in Europe. And from Berlin came the great catastrophe that destroyed the Jews. Jews without God and Torah cannot exist. Al Osram es Torosi, Lohol Uvo. This was the parable of Rabbi Akiva when the fox urged the fish to come out of the water, and the fish replied that they would perish if they forsook the water. The 150 years since Moses Mendelssohn's time had brought havoc upon the Jewish masses. Very many despised Judaism and were poisoned by a hatred that could not be overcome by persuasion. It was impossible to influence the children of the irreligious to enter a Torah school. The parties of the nationalists, the Bundists, and the Yiddishists had so hardened that they were cut off from hope of return. Al Osman es Torosi. The Gehinnom, which was almost entirely forgotten from men's minds in Germany, was suddenly brought into this world for all to see, said Rabbi Wolfram. The terrible suffering, the fires of the crematories, the pyres of burning bodies, the screams of the dying, and the satanic hatred of the German demons, all gave a vivid portrayal of Gehinnom, never before seen on earth. Lo'aleinu. That is the way, a little bit, how Rabbi Victor Miller saw Al Osram es Torosi v'lo Yechol Uvo, the enormous assimilation. It's only for Tisha B'Av such reports. The rest of the time, we have to carry on and build our own lives and control and care for our own generation. The question is, where do we come under the banner of Shmira like Truma and Kedusha? How far are we dedicated Al Osram es Torosi v'lo Yechol Uvo? After the last Siyam Hashas, where Matisol Solomon, Shiyabari, once explained that in our times there has been a renaissance in Torah. Everybody learns Torah. On the Loshon and the Mishnah, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimei, Al HaTorah V'Al HaVoidah V'Al Zemilas Chatzodim, says Rabbeinu Yoina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipates the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael in Torah, HaVoidah, and Zemilas Chatzodim, said Rabbi Matisyo, but it seems from the Siyam Hashan and the enormous dedication that people have to get up early and to stay in the Beis HaMedrash and to learn Torah, said Rabbi Matisyo, perhaps we're not under the gedder of Al HaAzvam Es Torosi. Perhaps we're not. Because there's been a change. We've taken on Torah as a major project in many, many ways. And Moshe Tzvoim once said to me that every single day a new sefer appears on the shelves. The Chadorim are full. There's no room in the Mir Yeshiva. There's no room in Lakewood. There's no room in Philadelphia. All these yeshivas are packed. To call and claim against our generation, I don't know, said Rabbi Matisyo. These are his words. On the Enei Ho'eva. I don't know if we can say that we are Al-Ozvam in our times. No. We repaired that breach. But perhaps, La'aniyat Zayti, it's the end of what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, which perhaps Loy aleinu chas v'shonim can be leveled against us. Loy holuchu bo. You be also two things. Al otam es toyrosi, loy holuchu bo. It means, in simple terminology, perhaps sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, we should consider our aspirations, our values, our hopes for the future based on Torah, or are they American? Are they English? Are they European? Are they secular? We learn Torah, but could it be leveled against us that perhaps we're not exactly the whole of Uva, like Avraham Avinu, his Halakhudafanai, Beye Somin. Are our aspirations exactly online? And that, perhaps, sitting on the floor, an Ovel is misboining. The nature of Avelas is to think again and think deeper. Are we so dedicated in our values to Torah? We learn Torah. And we pursue the Daf Hayomi, and we go as much as we can, but perhaps our values and our aspirations are not exactly the way they should be. How do we correct that profile on Leil Tisha B'Av? I would like to suggest a remedy. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban as to why the wife of Lot turned into a pillar of salt. Rashi says, because she never gave salt to the guests. The Ramban is choylik. And the Ramban says, she turned around, and in her heart, she lingered after her family in Sodom and Amorah. Says the Ramban, machshava is dveikus. The weather that day in Sodom and Amorah was gofrin for melach. So she turned into melach. Because she lingered in her mind for Sodom and Amorah, says the Ramban, and that's the reason why. Because machshava is dveikus. When a person thinks about something a great deal, and it means a lot to the person, in values, in aspirations, in expectations, you're there. You're in that spot, even though Eishes Lot could have been kilometers away. It didn't matter. In her mind, she was there, and machshava is dveikus. If that's the case, look carefully at what happens with us three times a day. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. B'kumo litzfalel, when one gets up to daven, im hoya oimei b'chutz la'ore, yachzir ponlo k'neged Eretz Yisrael, face Eretz Yisrael. V'yechavein li'ushalayim, v'lamikdosh, u'lebeit kodshei ha'kodoshim. Hoya oimei b'Eretz Yisrael, yachzir ponlo k'neged Yushalayim, face Yushalayim. V'yechavein gam, l'mikdosh, u'lebeit kodshei ha'kodoshim. When you daven, in your mind, you're in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hoya oimei b'Yushalayim, yachzir ponlo v'lamikdosh, v'yechavein gam k'neged the base Kodshei HaKadoshim. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, Shenema v'yispalu l'derech ha'altzon. Right, so loyma yechavin liboy apobi she'ir shala haklipon of kenegdom. But think in your mind as if you are there. Right, so loyma she'yachshav b'libo ha'ayonoi ki iluhu oimeid v'amikdosh asher b'Yerushalayim v'mokem kodesh hakodoshim. These are not poetic words. Chofetz Chaim is not telling us about hallucinating. He's telling us in reality that when you stand and pray, if you're there, if by an oinesh, by eshes loit, then machshava was dveikus and she turns into a pillar of salt. Midah toira is meruva mi midah vor. So avada and avada, a person who stands and davens, and his mind is, according to Chaim Baloshan in Nefesh HaChaim, it's not just the great, it's the kruvin. It's ani ledoidi vedoidi li. And therefore when you daven, you're there. You're in Yerushalayim. You're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If that's the case, then perhaps we can bring an example from what they say in Brisk. In Brisk, they say there are two types of Brisker Talmudim. There's someone called a Giborana. That's probably from the family Soloveitchik, Feinstein. They're Giborana Briskers. They're born into Brisk. There are other people who come and learn, by Rabbi Avraham Yehoshua, by Rabbi David, and those people are called Givon of Bristers. They became Bristers. They're not born into it. But because they take on risk and the chumus of risk, er givein a givon a brisker. He becomes a brisker. Pashtus, you can have a person who's born and bred in Flatbush and never leaves Brooklyn. You can have a person who spends his whole life in Florida or never moves from Golders Green in London, but in reality, they're givon a Yerushalmi. Because when they come to Davin, they're there in the Mokam HaMikdosh. You don't necessarily have to be there. But there's something called a Gevorana Yerushalmi. Through mind, through thought, through application, using the Ramban's analysis, Machshava is Dveikus. And therefore, when Yirmiyahu said, V'loi Holchubo, Lahol Chuba means in values and aspirations, but you can change your personal profile. You can become a Yerushalmi. By thinking when you're davening, you're there. The Prophet signs it quite clearly. Kilo oimei b'mokam amikdosh. Perhaps there's a raya from the Shodesh Lagoni. The Netziv mentions that each one of the Yomim Tovim has an expression of Atzeres. Even by Pesach it says, Lo sasu komalata atzeres yilachem. Shavuot eimal adabesh, mini atzeres. Says the Netziv, the meaning of atzeres is, atzeres means stop there. Wait. Don't leave Yerushalayim immediately. Think of what you had in the time that you're there by Oile Regel, and don't go home until you've acquired something to take back with you from Yerushalayim. Surely, Rabbi Yisai, don't take 3 steps back in Shemona Esrei until you thought where you were, and then move back, because you acquired something by being a virtual Kohen Gadol. You were there. According to the Chofetz Chaim, you're inside. You became a Yerushalmi by your tefillah, and therefore you change your whole value system. Maybe that's the profile which we should think of sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av. To become a Yerushalmi. Look carefully, therefore, again at the Perek, which describes the whole pain of Goddess Bovel. Think of it like this. Al Naras Bovel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu, V'Zochreinu Estziyoi. Why were they crying? Much more beautiful than Monsi, far more beautiful than Golders Green, much more beautiful than Hollywood or anywhere in California. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon is supposed to be one of the most beautiful places in the world. Why were they crying? But what did they remember? They remembered the sights like a tourist? No. It wasn't as simple and as careless as just remembering the sights of Simchat Beis HaShoeva. The memory of Yerushalayim, of the Zochreinu Etzion, comes out in 3 specific areas. Im Eshkachich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yamini is in Machshov. Tizbak L'Shoin Yilechiki is in speech. Im Lo'ales Yerushalayim is in action. Machshov, Dibur, and Maiser, the Zochreinu Etzion. When they sat in by Babylon and they cried because they were in a beautiful area, a magnificent area in nature. But the Zochreinu Etzion in Mishkoch, I can't forget Yerushalayim in my thoughts, in my speech, and my action. They became Givorana Yerushalmi. They were Yerushalmi. They were there. And therefore, that's the antidote to the Lohol Chubo. Not just to think about the scenes of Yerushalayim, but to move it from the mind into the neshama, and it becomes almost an acquisition in a personal profile. A Givorana Yerushalmi. I'd like to bring examples. When you and I, when we go up to Yerushalayim, you always climb. You always go higher and higher. Says the Pasuk, Yerushalayim horim saviv lo. Hashem saviv le'amoy. Said Dina Bransky, what's the connection between Yerushalayim horim saviv lo Hashem saviv le'amoy? Just as the mountains are so close, so is Hashem so close. When he lived in Beit Dagan, he said, the reason why the mountains are so close, that's what David HaMelech meant. The proximity of the Shekhinah is so close when you're in Yerushalayim. You're there. You're in the scene. As you enter into Yerushalayim today, you go into Yerushalayim and you're faced with the most remarkable bridge. The Gesher Meitarim is in the shape of a harp, because you just came into Il David. And there are cables, many cables, which lead up to a main spire. And it directs your attention to the top, to the light. It's telling you something, that when you come to Yerushalayim, you came to the place where heaven meets earth. You came to a place of Ruchnius. A Yerushalmi, on coming into Yerushalayim, is prompted to think to themselves through the cables that they're each different ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Rina, there's Bakosha, maybe there's Tchina, maybe there's Tshuva, maybe there's a simple recognition. Yerushalayim is not like London or Paris. Yerushalayim is a place where all the prayers come to. It's a place of tremendous Kedusha. That's why the harp is there. That's why the spire is there. And the cables mean to find another way to connect. To think of yourself as a Yerushalmi, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any one of the cables, any different way that you can find to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way a Yerushalmi thinks. When you walk around Yerushalayim, you go by bus and you travel around, there are enormous numbers of people in Yerushalayim. Many, many different types of people there. The crowd. But above all, you see many, many children. I used to take the bus from the Mir Yeshiva back to Har Nof, and you see all thousands of children in Givat Shol, in Shmuel HaNovi. The place is surrounded, can I know, by children. A Givorana Yerushalmi in Yerushalayim looks at the children and does what's called glances, recalls, and focuses. You look at the children, and you must recall the Gemara in Baba Basra. When Yehoshua ben Gamla organized that all the children should come to Yerushalayim, ki mitzian teisei toiro. Say a prayer for these children. Think that they should find their way a derech, and not yored min a derech. Think of all the children and all the numbers of generations and families which will grow up. That's a givorah neYerushalmi, the care of children in Yerushalayim. And you see so many of them. One of the prophets, the greatest Yerushalmis, a givorah that we had, was Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He lived in Bnei Brak, but according to the criteria of the Chofetz Chaim in standing in the Kodesh Kedoshim, he was a Givorah Yerushalmi. There was a Bocha in Bnei Brak who yarad min haderech legamrei. He went to live with an irreligious relative and decided to marry a non-Jewish woman in Tel Aviv. His irreligious relative said to him, listen, if you're going to go that far, then maybe you should spend the Shabbos, at least go back to your parents and tell them what you're doing. He agreed. He called up the family and said, I'd like to come for a Shabbat on my terms. Meaning, I smoke, I use my iPhone, I do whatever I want. Allow me to come in, I'm going to spend one Shabbat. The family said, of course, come in. On Shabbat morning, the father turned around and said to the son, I'm going to a shir. Would you like to come with? He said, who's giving the shir? Father said, Rav Steinman. He said, I'll come along. The father was shocked. He came to the shir, and after the shir, The father took the boy over to the Rosh Shaiman, and in half a second, Rosh Shaiman realized what was going on. He turned around and said to the boy, to the bocher, "Tell me, how long is it since you've been Yorad Min HaDerech Legamrei?" So the boy, I think he said 2 years. He asked him, "In that time period, did you ever have any hirhurei tshuva that maybe you were doing the wrong thing?" He said, "Yes, I did. 4 times. Each one was about 10 minutes. He said, "Rav Shteinman, it's unbelievable. B'mokon shebali tshuva oimdim, ein tzadik gomor oimed. I'm mekaneh you for your, at least you had hirhurei tshuva." That's all he said to him. They came home, and the boy turned around and said to his parents, "I've decided not to marry the woman. I'm coming back to Torah mitzvah." They asked him, what made the change? He said, "Because when I heard that you were going to a shiur of Rav Shteinman, I remember what happened to me when I was in Cheder, in Kisa Dalet. We went to Rav Shteinman for a test. And he went round and asked each person a question. And when he came to me, I didn't know the answer. So he asked me a second question, and I didn't know the answer. And he asked me 3 questions. I did not know the answer. To each child who answered correctly, Rav Shteinman gave a candy, gave a bar, a chocolate. Afterwards, he called me over and said, everybody only got 1 bar of chocolate. You get 3. Because Torah is not dependent on getting the right answer. You've tried 3 times. Because of your efforts, I'm going to give you 3 candies and not 1. He said, I remember that idud from Rav Shteinman. And it shook me when he told me that I was a potential Baal Tshuva. The care, when you see in Yerushalayim children, that's changing your derech. Look at children and pray for them and encourage them and build them. A Givoren a Yerushalmi is greatly disturbed by the priestess in Yerushalayim. And it's very painful. The Novi Yeshaya describes it in awful detail. Exactly what happened. Hayomer Hashem, Yan ki govu benoit tziyon vateilachna netuois goroin. They went and lifted their heads up in great pride, the girls. Umesakrois einoim, and they painted their eyes. Holoich betofuch teilachna, and they like floated along looking for attention, attraction. Ubaagleihem teakasna, they had perfume in their shoes. The Sipach Adonai Kodkoi Benoit Tzion Hashem Posan Yo'ora, and Hashem sent them into immorality. When a Yerushalmi sees priestess in Yerushalayim, he's reminded that that was the cause. When the Gemara says, Gil Arayas Shvichasom Ma'avoid Azora, says the Gemara in Yuma, Gil Arayas was priestess. To be disturbed, at least to be disturbed from the way people dress in Yerushalayim. It's not the Champs-Élysées. It's not Hollywood. It's not Manhattan. It's Yerushalayim. It's unlikely that one can say anything to someone who's not dressed properly. But at least to feel the pain and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. A Gevoron a Yerushalmi feels the pain of the princess. Inevitably, you go to the Kotel. And when you wander around and stand at the Kotel, you must remember the Lashon of Hinei Ze'oimed Acha Kotzleinu. Mashkiach min achaloinois. Says the Meforshim, Acha Kosleinu is a remnant for the Kotel Ma'arovi. And the Shechina stands right behind the wall. Said the Alshich, and that's the reason why it said when we just read in Eicha, Hoyasov ke almona. Not almona, ke almona. She's like a widow. But in reality, the Shechina is right there behind. And therefore, standing at the Kotel and davening as we do, a Givorana Yerushalmi remembers and recalls the nisim that happened on Har HaBayis. The Chaim Volozhin brings down in Nefesh HaChaim, in Ruach Chaim, that each one of the nisim which occurred jolts a person to remember the derech in Torah and Avodah. Never did the rain ever put out the korbanos. It poured with rain on Har HaBayis, but it never put out the fire. Says the Chaim Volozhin to teach you, Gashmias, Geshem, rain, never ever should put out any fire that you have in Ruchnias, the Eish on the Mizbeach. And similarly the wind. Never ever did the bosal go bad. No, hisriach ha-bosal, even though there was an enormous number of pieces of meat. because Matriach is Miloshen Tumah from Chet, says Rav Chaim, and therefore it's a sign to show you that if you deal with purity, if you deal with Tara, you retain the Kedusha. Oynim Tzfufim U'mishtachalim Ruvachim. The Neis, when you stand at the Kreisah, so remember that when you stood at the Kreisah, you stood at the Azorah, says the Baal Tanur, you were floating in the air, you were so high up. But when you were Mishtacha there, there was room for everybody. Says Rav Chaim Voloshin, the reason for that Neis was that when you stand with all your pride and you stand up straight, there's no room. But when you bow down and you're machniah yourself, there's room for everybody. Hachnor is the essence. Once you're machniah with anova, there's room for everybody. Afam, no one ever said with the thousands, with the millions of people who came for Olei Regel. No one ever said in Yerushalayim, Tzali Amokam She'odov Yerushalayim, meaning no one ever felt that someone was injuring them or taking their place or taking their parnosa. No one ever said that. These are the thoughts of the Givorana Yerushalmi. The shuls, the yeshivas. When you go into Yerushalayim, you must think of the Lohol Chuvah. My aspirations should be like a Yerushalmi. Inevitably, there is La'aniyah Zayti, a certain mood and character of Yerushalmi that I have noticed. Their respect for any type of person, because after all, it was always Ir Rabotzi Om. In Yerushalayim, there were always many types of people there. The practicality and the encouragement which people give in Yerushalayim. Anybody who went in to speak to ever to Rav Scheiner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's true, he wasn't be'etzem a Givoran a Yerushalmi, he was a Givoran a Yerushalmi. He became a Yerushalmi through his tefillah, through his Torah, and the encouragement and the enthusiasm which he used to give. I used to go when my wife was expecting a child to Rebbe Foyle Levine. It was a kameya of a Prime Voloshin which we used to use. And his encouragement and enthusiasm, that's a Yerushalmi. The magnificent stories they tell of a Chaim Shmulevitz sitting in the bunker, sitting in the air raid shelter during the 6-day war. And everyone was crying out, Shema Yisrael, Mirvan Shalom, help us. And then the Chaim turned around and said, you think because of your prayers and the bombs were falling from the Judean artillery and it was extremely dangerous. And the Mir Yeshiva was hit a few times. The Chaim then turned around and said afterwards, I'll tell you why you were saved. Because sitting next to me was a Naguna. And I heard what she said. This lady had a tremendously hard life. She became a washerwoman. She looked and washed after everybody's clothing. She had tremendous grievances. Said Rav Chaim, I heard her call out and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I forgive, then you should forgive, and spare and save us all. Said Rav Chaim, that's the reason why. The care, the interest, the sensitivity. A Givoran a Yerushalmi feels for somebody else and recognizes their pain and their difficulty. When I first came into the Mir, they told me this story of Rav Chaim. A Talmid who became a Chosen, after a few weeks of getting married, Rav Chaim would turn round to the Chosen and say, I'd like to come to your house just to visit. It was expected. Rav Chaim arrived at the house on Friday night, and he sat at the table. And he took the Chosen on one side and the Kala on the other side. He then turned round and turned around to the Chosen and said, Efshar, Sugi Greif at the Baal Torah, maybe you have something to say at the Baal Torah. He's been working on it for the last 5 weeks. He knows what's coming. He prepared at the Baal Torah. He had something to say. Instantly, always the same. Rav Chaim turned around and said to the Kala, tell me, what did you do in your life to deserve such a Talmid Chacham, the Chosen? He then turned around and said to the Kala, maybe a little designers, we can eat something together and make a bracha together. The Kala brought out a piece of cake. He tasted the piece of cake and then turned around to the Chosen and said, and tell me, what did you do in your life to deserve such a balabosta as this Kala? A zahmaisa of encouragement, of sensitivity of the Chosen and the Kala finding their way in life. The care, the interest, the devotion. That's perhaps where we have to pick up on Tisha B'Av, on the Lohol Chuvah, to become a Yerushalmi in behavior, in sensitivity. There was a widow who lived next to the Mir Yeshiva. Her name was Esther Segel, Aleich Shalom. We used to go and take her clothing or money, put stocker. We once stood with her. She was never a widow, very early with 9 children, and brought them all up by herself. And we talked about our children and bringing them up and finding the right chinuch. And every time we made any point of perhaps a gripe and things were hard, she would turn around and say to us, "Nein, bei mir das ist ein leichter Sach. That's an easy thing." And every time she always would say, "It's a leichter Sach, it's nothing at all." Marrying off children, she said, "No, leichter Sach." And in the end, it always became like a careless comment. She kept on saying, "Nein, it's gornish, it's gornish." And then eventually she turned around and said to us, "I'll tell you why it's gornish. Weil ich hab a reicher Tata. I have a rich father." I remember looking at my wife and saying, "Well, lucky lady, you have a rich father." And then the twinkle in her eye was like a beautiful veneer on a furniture. I also have the same reicher Tata. Rebbetzin Segel didn't have to look at the Geshe Meitarim and realize she was connected with Borei Olam. She had that connection. And all like that. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim, but you pick up the message from the Kodesh Kodoshim of the values of Yerushalayim, of the sensitivity of Yerushalayim. And that is perhaps the profile which we need to adjust to on Tisha B'Av. Al Ozro Mespoirosi, Pashtos Ulai, perhaps, we are dedicated to Torah, of a low Holchuvo, in the sensitivity of the Yerushalmi, of how you should behave. A businessman once came to Rav Yosef Dunant, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in London, and said to him that he was going to spend Yom Tov in Yerushalayim. And Rav Dunant opened up his Sefer Tehillim and said to him, "Don't forget these words: Yevorechecha Hashem Mitzion Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim Kol Yemei Chayecha." Said Rav Dunant to the businessman, "Please remember when you go there, Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim. See the good. Don't see the bad. Don't look at the bad. Yevorechecha Hashem Mitzion, when you see the good in Yerushalayim, there is priestess, there is machlokes. Those are from Erev Rav. The Gaon says in Eved Shleimer, they're Bali Amalekim. That's not the makor. On Tisha B'Av, the formula must be a formula of a Givorin Yerushalmi with all the goodskite behind it, with all the sensitivity behind it. It comes from the Kodesh Kadoshim. You pick it up because Machshava is the vapor, like the Ramban said. And because of that, the whole profile changes. You can be in Brooklyn, you can be in Florida, but you become a Yerushalmi because you pick up the vibes of the sensitivity of the people, of the children, of the Kvarim, of the Kosel, of the Batei Midrashim, of all that the Kedusha that there is and there remains there. Acha Kosleinu is the Shechina there. And all these points builds a profile in a person. Maybe just one last point, which perhaps we can take away from sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av. Chofetz Chaim gave a moshe of a king who had a wayward son. And he decided the only way he could handle the son and deal with him is to send him away, and he sent him out of the city to work on a farm somewhere. The king was worried where how the son was doing. So the Chofetz Chaim, so the king came out to see how the son was doing. And he went to the son and asked him, "And how's everything doing there?" And the son turned around and said to the king, the father, "You know, Abba, he doesn't give me enough food in the morning. And he treats me harshly when I work sometimes. And the conditions of living here are not so wonderful." Said the king to the son, "Don't be so foolish. Don't you realize? In a short while, you'll be the king. Don't complain about silly, petty things. You're going to become the king one day. So don't complain about difficulties that you have now. It's all worth it because later you'll take over from me and become the king." So the Chofetz Chaim, that's the pshat of the labors of Yerushalayim. There are difficulties. There are things which aggravate a person. Oh, but in the end, when Mashiach comes, and we see the light behind it all, and the nobility of an Am Segula Mikol HaAmim, and an Amlechet Koyanim, And everything gets changed because we were careful from Hefer Chadar in Torah. We looked after the Torah like Truma and Kedusha. We didn't treat it like Chulin. We treated Torah with tender, loving care. Loirak al Ozom es Torahotni, the actual limud of Torah, which perhaps according to Rav Matisyahu is in some way repaired in our times. People are devoted to Torah. Although the whole chuvah is the whole demus of Yerushalmi, of changing our ways in sensitivity and caring and encouragement, an enormous respect. By nature, a Yerushalmi is a sablan, because he's standing waiting there. He's waiting for the time. He knows what's going to happen shortly. He will omed bahamtana until the time comes when the shofar sounds and everything changes. But until then, perhaps that's the area of tikkun, of a givorah and yoshalmi, for the whole chuvah on Neil Tisha. Thank you.